Hey guys, this is Nancy Perez from Live Cope LLC. We're a self-help podcast out of Colorado Springs, Colorado. I am back to you today with another episode from Studio 916. This time we're talking with Ani Trejo Barrington from Two Wolves Clothing. And this is part of our Women Who Inspire series. Thank you for being here, Ani.
Yes, I'm so excited to be here, really, truly.
Thank you so much. So you run a vintage shop that focuses on body positivity, sustainable living, and maintaining authenticity.
Yes.
So I am so excited to hear more about it. Can you tell me a little bit of like the backstory, like what got you started? What was the inspiration for you?
Yeah, for sure. So I have been interested in vintage and have been thrifting since I was a young person, like probably 16. Because I think I was just really cheap and I loved going to thrift stores. At the time, my style was just like t-shirts. I just love wearing little boys' t-shirts because I fit into them at the time. But I just kept thrifting and lived in Texas my whole life, and there was like a ton of good thrift stores mm-hmm. there. And I actually made my way up to Dallas when I was in graduate school, and Dallas is like a whole other level. It's like the good stuff. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Like the Buffalo Exchange.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And then I started realizing that I could flip things like on Facebook Marketplace, and started doing fashion blogging that was primarily of thrifted clothing.
Wow.
But wasn't like, it wasn't clicking in my head that that could become a business. It actually wasn't until I got to Colorado probably 8 years later. Just about a year and 3 months ago that my cousin Vanessa and I were talking one day, and I was like, I just really have always dreamed of doing some kind of vintage clothing business where wow. like I get to source things and then curate it and pick clothes out for people even.
Yeah.
And she was like, let's do it. Why don't we just do it? I'm all in. And so we basically met a few more times, created a business name, created our own kind of understanding of what we wanted to center our whole business around, which is maintaining authenticity, body positivity, sustainable living, all those things. And we were like, let's just make this happen.
I love it.
Yeah. So
that's so awesome. Kind of what was the inspiration for the name Two Wolves Clothing?
Yeah, so there's actually this Native American tale that talks about how it's asking the wolf that you're gonna feed. It's this whole like Navajo, I believe it's Navajo, understanding. It's like, it's really just a child's tale saying like there are things inside of us and they both coexist. Some of the things that are inside of us are really beautiful and really pure and really good, and some of them are really not good, and they're not the kinds of things that you want the world to see because it doesn't lead to any good. And so it's called These Two Wolves, and you say, which wolf will you feed? It's the end of the tale. And when I was reading it to Nessa, she was like, oh my gosh, yes, that's cool, but also the name sounds really cool together, just like two wolves. I was like, I think this is working. And we had gone through a bunch of different names and had even thought we had found the one, but then we listened to that and we were like, no, that's the one.
I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
And as a shopper of your clothing and of your shop, like when I saw that, it really like captured me. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure like what, you know, the meaning behind it was, but even just like your tag and everything, I'm like, this is really dope. I kind of dig this.
Yeah,
and for those of you that follow me on social media, that red blazer that I basically wear everywhere, that is from Two Wolves.
That she looks amazing in.
Thank you. But yeah, like I think like sustainable clothing and sustainable living is so important, especially mm-hmm. in 2019, right?
Yep.
It's so easy to just like go down to the Forever 21, the Charlotte Russe, and you know, nothing against those places. But the reality is that most of that clothing ends up in the dumpster mm-hmm. and what happens? It just pollutes our earth more when there's so much good clothing out there that we could be like reutilizing and wearing. And I mean, I always like look at the people that have the most money, right?
Yeah.
And you look at what they wear mm-hmm. and it's like the same t-shirt, the same jeans, the same hoodie, the same everything all the time. And for whatever reason, those of us that are, you know, are in the mainstream world, like we think like we got to keep up with these trends.
Mm.
But what about us setting them, right? And I think vintage really allows you to be unique and an individual. But for you, why is sustainable living important?
Yeah, so I think I grew up in a world where I was living in those two tensions. It was like Forever 21 and all that was coming up. I worked in retail for about 3 years. I worked at like a skate shop. I think it turned into Zoomies, like what is currently now Zoomies.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it was fast forward before then. And I watched it. Like I witnessed it. I sold it. Like I did a lot of just like pushing people to buy. And most of the time, like, I knew that it was going to end up in a thrift store that I might later source from, right? So I was never of the mindset that I wanted to buy full price, number one, because my mama taught me better. And then I think I just knew that the things that were being bought weren't actually worth what they were being sold for. Yes. And so whenever I think, like, culturally, when I got to Dallas and things, like, really amped up in terms of how you looked every day, what you wore, I figured out that I could still look really good and wear the brands that other people were wearing, but find them at a much lower price.
Yes.
Especially because they cycle through their closets. People who have a lot of money cycle through their closets after one wear, or maybe even buy it and then second guess how they looked in it. And so they just put it right to the, you know, whatever the donation drop is that's closest by.
Yeah.
And so I reaped the benefits, right? Like, I feel like in a lot of ways I reaped the benefits, but what I figured out was that most people aren't willing to do that work. Like, most people don't want to step into a thrift store. One, for whatever reason, it feels dirty. It feels gross. Like, everybody's perception is different about thrifting, about where you source vintage, even from somebody else's clothing, right? Like, if I'm buying from a vintage...
I don't know why we do that.
I don't... It's got to be something in our minds that tells us that, like, used is dirty.
You know, and for me, you know, when I came to this country, used and secondhand was the only way. And now I kind of laugh that I, like, that's what I go and purchase for myself.
Right.
Because back then I hated it because I felt like that was the equivalent of being poor.
Yeah.
You know, like that was the equivalent of not having. And so the minute that, you know, my mom could like afford to take me to like even Ross or Marshall's or any of these like, you know, lower price stores, like it was just like this excitement of like, oh, I get brand new things.
Yeah.
And when I tell my mom, like, she's like, oh, you look so good in this. Or I visit and, you know, she sees me wearing something and I tell her it's secondhand or it's vintage. She just laughs at me because it's like, you used to cry because I used to take you to Goodwill, you know, to buy stuff.
Yeah.
To get, you know, wardrobe items. And I think that's where a lot of that comes from, where it's just like that lack of understanding that it doesn't make it dirty. It makes you actually like living proof of that it can be sustainable, because a lot of these things, like, they're not made the same anymore.
No,
like a lot of the clothes that you can buy, like, it's fast fashion. So it's like literally like some places like Fashion Nova, no offense again, if you wear any of these things, do you, but I'm just here to show you that there is another way. And so if, you know, for those of you that are listening, it's just, it really starts with you, like, wanting to, like, acquire that one piece that you know that you're going to wear over and over again. And then you acquire another piece. That's how it started for me. I didn't know that this was going to become, like, my new way of shopping and my new way of seeing fashion. But every single time that I need something to wear for an event or I need something, I find myself finding more curiosity in vintage stores and vintage shops because I know nobody else is going to have it.
Absolutely.
And something about that originality, you know, that I'm like, oh, nobody else can get this.
Yeah,
you know?
And nobody else fits the same way in it. Like that somehow it feels like it was tailored to your body.
Yes.
Like there's a uniqueness and an individuality, I think, in vintage that you can't find everywhere. And so it also goes the other way where you're like, if it doesn't fit me and it's not right for my body, then like bless the next person that's going to have it. You know what I mean? Like
it sometimes it's a little bumming, like, oh, there's not like another size down or size up.
Totally.
But that's like almost like the, I don't want to call it a hunt, but it almost feels like a hunt because you're like, you know, you see the piece, you eye it out, you go try it on, and then sometimes it's just perfect. And other times you're like, why not? Why doesn't it fit? Why is it a little too big? Why is it a little too small? But at the end of the day, you know that you're getting one of a kind. You know that you're helping a small business out.
Exactly.
And I mean, for me, that's huge in like the impact to our earth. You know, I'm constantly talking about the different changes that I've made and the different things that we can do as a society to, you know, move us along. Like, especially in 2019, that conversation is like very hot and heavy right now, where it's like, what can we do more, you know? And I think that sustainable clothing and shopping is something that we all can implement little by little. Like next time, for those of you that are listening, next time that, you know, you need something new, don't think of going to, you know, even if you shop at Ross and shop at Marshall's and places like that or Fashion Nova, like, the $25 that you're putting towards, you know, that one item, like, it really could, like, not only go to getting one-of-a-kind piece, but also helping a small business and helping our earth. Like, win-win-win,
yeah, all three all ways. All around. Really. It really does feel that way. It's so cool.
It really is. So, like, what about body positivity and maintaining authenticity that, like, really drives you to keep doing this every day? I know that, like you said, a lot of people don't want to do it, and it takes a lot of work and effort. Mm-hmm. So what keeps you going? What keeps you motivated? What keeps you like, this is my goal, this is why I'm doing it?
Sure. I think seeing people in the clothing that we have curated, it just gives me all sorts of joy. And then just like, so I had, even just on Saturday, we had a pop-up, and I got to sit there with the people while they're trying these clothes on, and like watching them come out of the dressing room with just excitement about, yes, how perfectly it fit. And I'm telling you, one of the girls was probably a size 2, right? She fit beautifully into these tiny vintage jeans that I fit into at one point. They definitely don't fit me anymore. But then this other girl who fits into probably what I would fit into now is closer to like a size 14, 16. Mm-hmm. And she fit perfectly into her little jean shorts. And I thought, that's what I'm about. Yes. I want to be the kind of curator that doesn't just pick one body type, because I think that's what people associate with vintage, is that somehow, mm-hmm, it's only the tiny little like Marilyn Monroe style, like little itty bitty waist, and
the
then,
Instagram
like,
model.
The Instagram model, yeah, like it's got to be the high waisted that only fits like super tiny waist. And I'm not about that, because it doesn't fit me. And so, right, I don't want to shop for just one body type. And it helps a lot that when Ness and I started this together, it was like her body type is completely different from mine. She is much thinner than I am, and I have parts of my body that wouldn't even be able to get like a full leg into a pant leg that she can. Yeah. And so I was like, what a good balance to show people that her body's beautiful and my body's beautiful.
Yes.
And we can both be exactly who we are while also like not having to have like the exact same pair of jeans that we both got at H&M that, you know, mm-hmm, fit us both, but in different ways. But like, it just doesn't feel the same. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. And I mean, the one thing I hate the most is like, if I buy a new outfit and I go out there, you know, and you think you're like, ooh, I'm looking hot and sexy, and then you see somebody else wearing the same thing.
Same thing.
It,
yeah,
literally is like such a buzzkill. Like, yeah, you're just like, oh. And then now, ever since I started buying sustainable and vintage, like, mm-hmm, it really has changed where I'm getting compliments from, you know, everyone. And it's just like, wow, that blazer's this. Or, wow, that skirt's, because I buy a lot of vintage skirts.
Yeah.
That skirt, oh my gosh, it reminds me of this. You know, like, the older generations will get nostalgic and tell me a story. Yes. And I'm just like, oh my God, tell me more. And right, the new generation, or my generation, they'll be like, where did you get that? That is so different. I haven't, mm-hmm, seen anything like that. And I think that's, for me personally as a shopper, that's really where I'm just like, that's what keeps me passionate about buying, right? Mm-hmm. And just knowing that, like, I am making more of an impact with my dollar, yes, versus just going to, like, H&M or Forever 21. And again, nothing wrong with these stores. Like, there really isn't anything wrong with it. But if we force them to cater more to what people are actually asking for, you know, mm, who knows? Maybe we could have big box stores that are now like, you know, salvaging clothes and like curating, right, like I mean we can think of like the big picture, but at the end of the day, it's really these small shop owners that, mm-hmm, like yourself,
yeah,
that put so much love and passion, and you know that like I'm helping you and your family.
Absolutely, you
and
are.
That's huge. Yeah. That's huge. I mean, I think that has more power, and it makes, you know, makes me as a shopper want to keep doing it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's the beautiful thing, and I love that, especially with you, with your company and with your shop. I love that you guys do cater to different sizes, because me, mm-hmm, and my sister shop your store.
Yeah.
And she is a tiny little thing. I love her. But yeah, she's a tiny little thing, and mm-hmm, she can fit into what you sell,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I can also fit into what you sell. And sometimes, yes, when you're posting on Instagram, I'm like, oh, I need to go get that. You know, yes, like that red blazer. I saw it on there, and I was like, mm-hmm, that has to be mine. Oh, yes, my gosh. So it's one of those things where it gets you excited and pumped up. And again, one of a kind. Nobody's going to have it. I think it's so easy to get caught up in what everybody else is wearing, like, especially, mm-hmm, with, like, Instagram and, like, Fashion Nova, and they're, like, constantly copying, like, big designer, like, styles, and, like, I mean, they're stealing, essentially, you know?
Yeah.
And who wants that? Like, that's not cool.
Well, and even H&M have caught on to the fact that vintage is becoming a thing again, that, like, the 90s, like, that's all coming back. And so they're making these really cheap versions of it, mm-hmm. which there is a dark side to all that fast fashion. Like, there are people that are not getting paid the wages that they deserve to be paid
yes.
for to make this clothing that then we're putting on our bodies. Like, when you talk about the clothes that we're wearing and the stories that they carry, like, that's a story that you're carrying when you buy from them, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like when you get vintage, when you get secondhand, like, I love dreaming up whatever story it was that was in that red blazer. I'm like, what strong, independent woman wore that, right? Like, they get to carry different stories. And so
yes.
I think that there is something to be said about what you feel when you put on a piece of clothing
mm-hmm.
And how other companies are, like, trying to imitate now what is happening in the vintage resale world.
You really
it's
do
so
see it.
It's so weird. And I only know it because I go to the mall sometimes to take my kid, and we're just, like, shopping. Not even shopping. We're just walking because he needs, like, when it's cold, he needs to get out.
Yeah.
And so there's, like, a little children's play area. So just by happenstance, I walk by these stores. And I took pictures the other day because I was like, this is weird. It looks like the stuff that I am curating, but that I'm actually finding that's been thrown out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're trying to mirror it just like the cute overalls. And, oh, my gosh, it's such a weird – the fashion industry is so bizarre in that way.
It really is.
They want to monetize off of it instead of just – letting us do our thing. Do you know what I mean?
Or they can start doing small buyers and actually have sure. vintage, you know, yeah. shops yeah. within their stores.
Yeah.
Whatever. But the thing is that they're not going to do it because it's easier to send a design over to China and Vietnam
yep.
and Indonesia.
Get it cheaply made.
And get, you know, these poor workers that are working for, like, cents to the dollar.
It's true.
You know, to manufacture these things. Like, yeah, the fast fashion world is a dark one. And I think oftentimes people forget that there is somebody making this, just like there's cheap food and someone's out there picking that fruit and, you know, killing mm-hmm. those animals for you to be able to have mm-hmm. that cheap meat. The same thing with the fashion industry, but I think because it's clothing, we give it less of a heart, and, like, there's still real people being affected by these trends.
Yeah.
And again, it's so easy to get caught up on social media and your Instagram feed and what everybody's wearing and want to just be the same,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, what is important and what I always try to tell you guys, the listeners, is that it really, like, our truest self lies in our originality. Why be like everybody else?
Right.
And I think with vintage clothing, it really, like, not only can you look like one of a kind now, but mm-hmm. you know that you're supporting one of a kind business.
Yes.
And that's major, major, major. At least for me, it is. And so I hope those of you that are listening, that are, you know, that are contemplating, you know, what we're chatting about today, that you realize that, like, you really have power with your dollar.
Yes,
you know?
We do.
And the more that you shop vintage, the more that you shop at these places, not only are you going to propel these business owners to, you know, expand their business or, you know, go into retail places or be able to do more pop-ups,
mm-hmm.
but you're also, like, curating your very own style, which is so important
yes.
because it makes you feel original, it makes you feel special, and it's just anything that helps the self, like, I'm all for it, right?
Yep,
if you're
yep.
if you want to feel amazing, if you want to look amazing, it really can be so impactful in more ways than one.
Yeah.
So how do you deal with just, you know, obviously you're a mom, you're a mm-hmm. business owner,
yeah.
you're doing the thing, but how do you take care of you? How do you take care of yourself? Like, you know,
yeah.
what are some things that you do for you?
Sure. So I think this business was birthed like 4 months after my son was born. And
oh,
it
wow.
was a really hard birth. Like, the birth itself was hard. My kiddo was in the NICU for like 10 days.
Oh, wow.
And then I got a rejection from a job that I had applied for and interviewed for. I thought it was like for sure a go. It was one of those moments where you're like, but I worked my whole career
yeah.
to get to this place and I got rejected. So I was in like a really hard, difficult, like dark place when I started this whole thing. And I think that for the time that I was in it, it's like I needed this as part of my self-care
wow.
to be able to do something that was not what I was doing before.
Yeah.
And to totally shift my focus and be able to feel like because I love helping people. Like I
yeah.
love helping people. And so for whatever reason, this was birthed out of that desire. It was just like,
wow.
I love doing this. If it can meet a need, and it definitely does, then I want to do that. And then also, I just want to be able to interact and interface with people.
Yeah,
so, like, it's weird.
Absolutely.
In its own way, it's like a form of self-care for me.
I love
to
it.
Do the curating and then also to do the selling and to be at these pop-ups. But I realized probably about 8 months after that, that I was drowning a little bit. I was like, man, I am suffering here. Like, I can't make things balance. My kid was changing. It felt like every day it was like a new season. And I was with my parents. They came to visit, and I just said, I need help. I really said, I'm not doing as well as I want to. I'm not thriving in anything. Will you guys come? They live in Texas. So we all come for just like 2 months and just help me to get stable. Wow. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they did. And they just last week. Oh, I love my parents. Like, they understood. And it ended up happening that we had a lot of health issues in my family, like from the start of the year all the way through, like, I mean, just even a few weeks ago. And so, like, they came for different purposes. I think it turned out that we needed them in different ways than we thought we were going to. But it took a lot for me to say, like, I need your help. And I think that's something that we have to practice on a daily basis, mm-hmm. because if we don't, we will constantly get it in our heads that we can do it all on our own. And I just can't function under that anymore. Like, definitely not as a mom anymore. I do like better time blocking now than I think I used to because of my child, like trying to be a full-time stay-at-home mom and trying to be like a decent wife and trying to run a business. Like, you just have to block your time differently and be a little more organized. And that's not what I normally lean towards. And then, like, you know, just normal stuff. We love to travel. That's where we get life. Yes. And so we will just go somewhere at the drop of a hat, knowing that, you know, like, there's not a whole lot holding us back. There's not. My husband works remotely, and I get to do this small business. And so, like, we're really, like, I'm super grateful. Like, we have a lot of just freedom to be able to do those types of things. So that gives me a lot of just joy. And I think my self-care does look different. Like, it's so simple, it's so hard.
But that's what I tell the listeners, that it really can be as simple as you make it or as hard as you make it. And that's anything in life.
Yes.
You know, and sometimes just reaching out and saying, hey, I need help. Mm-hmm. Like, that can be life changing.
It was for me. I really feel that. And then, you know, like I said, the smaller things was like, okay, I used to always take a shower in the morning. Like, that was my me time. When I had a kid, that's just not a reality. So I wait until he goes to bed, and then I take a bath. And it's like, just one little minor shift, you know, that can help you feel human again. Like, just everything will work itself out. This is only for a time. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And I have to remind myself of that. Otherwise, it becomes everything, and then you get fixated on the problem. And I've done that. I've totally been there.
It's so easy to get caught up in the day and age that we live in, you know, because everybody makes it look so easy and simple.
Oh, totally.
Like, I'm living my best life, and it looks this amazing and this and that. Mm-hmm. But we don't know what those people are actually dealing with. No. Sometimes it's just the smile for the camera, for the quick shot. Sometimes it's just the quick conversation you hold with them where they're smiling. And then, you know, after you walk away, they're like back to, you know, just breaking down. And it sucks because we do that to ourselves in order to fit in. But I think just being able to have the courage to say, you know what, let me take a step back. Let me take a look at myself, and let me simplify this. We complicate ourselves so much.
I think we do.
We really do.
And we put, like, a lot of unnecessary pressure on ourselves to succeed in the way that we think we should be.
And I think that a lot of that comes from just comparison to other people. Because we see other people, you know, succeeding in their very own ways. And some people make it look so effortlessly and flawlessly.
Yeah.
And it's like, why? Why them and not me? Why is this happening? And at the end of the day, it really is like, you can only do what you can, right?
Yes.
You can only control what you have control over. And I think if we as individuals can realize that more, we'll start achieving our goals and dreams, like, just like you
just
are,
like,
right?
Just like I am. It's so true.
And now you're doing pop-ups, and I just know that you're going to just keep growing the business and doing amazing. And not only is it going to benefit you because it is your baby and, you know, you're growing it, but it's also going to be good for our earth. And now you're going to be individually impacting these people that buy that one piece, that wear it, that have, like, that connection to, you know, where I got it from and where it came from. And even, you know, like you said, we can make up our own little stories of where this piece came from, who wore it. And, you know, I really, really love that about vintage shopping. Is like, you really don't know where it came from. All you know is that now it's yours.
Yeah.
And you get to wear it and make it your own and style it in your very own way. And, like, that individuality is just priceless to me. And so a lot of people think vintage is expensive.
Right.
So I want people to stop thinking that. Those of you that are listening, it's not expensive, really. Like, that was one of my biggest misconceptions, really.
Absolutely.
Most items that I have purchased are anywhere from, like, $18, $25, like, on the low end. And on the high end, like, $45. I think I got a jacket that was, like, $65, but it was, like, a jacket that I would have paid, like, hundreds of dollars for, right?
It's true.
So it's not, really, when you think about what you spend at H&M, what you spend at Forever, what you spend at, like, Fashion Nova, Charlotte Russe, all these fast fashion places, it really is comparable.
Mm-hmm.
But because we only see, like, you know, thin Instagram models, you know, on, you know, wearing it and showcasing what they have, and oftentimes they're doing it from, you know, these big brands that have already established themselves. Like, when I went to New York, I checked out a couple of vintage stores, and I'm like, oh my god, I can't afford this.
Yeah.
But these shops and these pops are popping up everywhere. So my advice to you guys that are listening is, find the nearest vintage shop and check it out, or even just go thrifting. Like, thrifting can be so fun, you know?
So much fun.
It really is, and it's, like, therapeutic in its own way. And, again, you're going to have something that nobody else has. And that in itself is, like, you know, just, like, the perk to go do it. Mm-hmm. So, Ani, how can people find you on social media if they want to check out some of what you have, the people that live here locally?
For sure. So you can find us at Two Wolves Boutique. On Instagram, and we're also on Facebook. We definitely interact more with our community on our Instagram page, so please reach out and follow us, and if you like what you see, go like some of our photos. We would love to connect with you. And then we also have downtown at Eclectic Co., which is 52 different vendors from here in the Colorado Springs area, including 4 different vintage vendors,
yes,
who are all my buds. Like, we're all tight. You can find our actual clothing there, which is really cool. So if you're just strolling along, like, downtown, and you want to hit up vintage, you can totally do it now downtown. We do have pop-ups and things like that. We'll promote all of that on our social media account. If you want to reach out and just talk, you can totally email me at twowolvesboutique@gmail.com.
Awesome. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love what you're doing. I think it's incredible that, you know, it just started from, like, a passion you had and just a need, really.
Yep.
And then now it's, you know, your job, and you get to do that, and you get to impact people like me, and I get to tell people where I got my awesome red blazer from that, you know, so many people ask, like, because I have the red and a yellow one that are, like, the Pendleton ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and everyone's always like, oh, that blazer.
I know, power blazers. They give you a whole sense of, like, I got this.
Yes, I love it so much. Yeah. And I, you know, I can't wait to come down there and check out some more stuff. I've been, like, going through my closet recently, and I'm like, okay, it's time for some new threads.
Yeah.
So I'm going to come down and check some more stuff out. But thank you so much for being on today.
Thank you
really
for inviting me.
I appreciate it. This has been a great conversation. To you guys that are listening, as always, like, you know, choose your happiest joy. Be happy, be healthy, be well. If you want to keep up with us online, you can do so by going to lifecopeapp.podomatic.com. Or if you want to keep up with me, nancyiperez.com. And as always, our social medias, LifeCope LLC. I will catch you next week. See ya.